You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Most people work for decades, but never actually arrive at the financial life they dreamed of. And this is normally because their money is always reacting and never leading. Tonight, we are flipping that script. We're going to talk about designing your financial future like an architect designs a landmark building with a clear blueprint, a solid foundation, and a vision that holds up over time. Our guide, Patrick Mhlari, is a man who has seen firsthand the difference between drifting through financial decisions and steering them with intention. We're going to explore how short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals can work together, not against each other, to secure not just your stability, but significance for you and your family. Good evening, Mr. Patrick.
Your introductions are always so heartfelt.
I love that. How are you doing?
Feeling blessed. Can't wait for the warm weather. Just see what doing people checks and claims, you know?
I know.
That kind of thing. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We really can't wait for the sun now.
Wow. I must also take this chance to say good evening to the listeners the world over.
Love it. Now, before we talk strategy, let's talk mindset. Why do so many people shy away from setting financial goals? And what's the cost of that avoidance?
All right. So there's many reasons why people don't do it, you know.
Yeah.
But the most common there's a few masterminds, I call them. Every time before going to the show, I'm like, let's do a quick survey. What do you think of this? I think the overwhelming response from that, because I was like, how, guys, why don't you have a plan? They told me it's the fear of the unknown, you know. You can't, sometimes it's hard to do what you haven't done before, especially when it comes to money, you know. Yeah, so most people are like, no. It's the fear of the unknown. Where do I start? Am I not better off just keeping this money with me, you know? But then the cost of it is that inflation, world child not starting, you know? So simply put, if you don't start and take time to start, by the time you start, the money you save might not be enough to even buy you, shall I say, bread in today's economy.
Yay, because also time value of money deteriorates so quickly. And the results of your survey is so interesting. So people would rather not plan or not have financial goals for fear of the unknown. One would think that planning is what at least gives them some sort of control for the future that they don't know. That's such an interesting outcome.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, because I was like, what more insurance does one need than a check wallet, you know, with me? Wherever I'm traveling, I'm like, do I have cash, you know? So, yeah, but then we live in a time where people that know, I guess this is an old age adage, you know, people that know are quiet, and the influencers, quote unquote, no shot at them or anything like that, that do not know have the most to say, you know.
This so true.
You find when you do quick desktop studies, you see the pitfalls of investing, things like financial advisors will take your money, banks will tie your money, you know. So there isn't a lot of good PR.
Yeah.
When it comes to savings, you know, and investment in the South African and possibly the African space, you know, people are quick to point out to the failed financial institutions, you know. So that just compounds to their fear, you know. I think that's the only logical explanation one can come with.
That makes sense to me. And in your experience, Patrick, what's the single biggest mindset shift that happens when someone moves from money as survival to money as a tool for vision?
Yeah. You know, one of the most profound conversation or rather respondents that I spoke to, and this is not a official survey or anything like that, it's just a group of people that are always so eager to share, you know, input to say, hey, don't forget this, you know. So one told me that when one realizes that we're not here forever, and when one realizes that you won't have the energy that you have now, maybe in your youth or later down the road, you will make provision for it, you know. So I think that shift is necessitated or rather propelled by a serious life event, you know, directly or indirectly. But most people tend to tell me that, yo, I went to so-and-so's funeral. Yo, we had to donate for XYZ. Yo. You know, that really hit me.
Yeah.
That, yeah, am I, have I planned for that, you know? Others will tell you, yo, I met my lecturer or teacher from the past. I thought these people had money.
And they were
like
doing
what I saw, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. And then, again, that media that runs away, or social media that feeds on negative news. We always read stories about
artists.
Riches to rags, you know? So I think it's more...
I've lost you there, Pat. Okay, I've got you back now.
Yeah. Okay, Mpumi.
No, I had lost you there. So the last I heard was rags to riches.
Yes. Or rather riches to rags, because that's what...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what propels the mind shift, you know, to say, hey, but now if this person with all the endorsements and everything can end up like this, what about me? And those are the most engaging clients, you know, they'll tell you, hey, man, this happened. I don't want to be there, you know?
So people really care about the future, or their future, rather, not the future because you don't know, but people really care about their future.
Yeah, people do care about the future, 100%. But when it comes to monies, people are not rational, man, you know?
this is why I'm surprised, because I know people just want to live once. YOLO! I can hear the line keeps breaking. I don't know what that is about.
Okay, let me... I think I've got an idea. Yeah. So about that, I just found a comfortable spot. Okay. I think the network coverage is not so comfortable there. Can
Fantastic.
You hear me better now?
I hear you well.
Yes. Thank you, ma'am.
Interesting.
Yes. So the concept of mine is a peculiar one. Investors aren't rational. People with money and without money are also not rational, you know. So I think COVID scared a lot of people. I see a lot of clients are setting up goals. I mean, if I may just set it up now, are setting up goals for more life experiences, you know, to say, yo, the country was nearly blocked and now it's not, I didn't do this and this, you know. So I see that people do take it seriously to plan for experiences, but...
Yeah.
They said that 6% of working people will retire comfortably. It's still
slightly
very far from being changed, you know? So it just tells you what I just said. It confirms what I said. You say, I think people are scared of that. You know?
No, I hear you. Now let's break it down, because we are here to talk about setting these goals, right? How do people, okay, maybe let me start by saying, how do you personally define short-term, medium-term, and long-term financial goal in a way that makes sense for the average person?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, my sister, and a fair one. When one steps away from the many heaps of paper that one deals with, you know, and then you say, okay, technically this is what it means. But breaking it down, I like to say short, medium, and long-term goals are cousins, you see? Yes. I didn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
Our cousins in planning. The reason I say that is because one cannot plan for either of them independently, you know. When one does a long-term goal, there's short-term and medium-term goals to feed into that long-term goal, you know. So that's when the relationship, the degree of relationship exists, you know. So hence I said they're cousins. But then For my personal space, how do we do that? I think before we even go there, you spoke of a very fundamental concept called mind shift, you know? So it starts there. It's the mindset, you know? The mindset to say, I'm with you on this one. It's my future. We need to plan for it. So one sits down and says, from where I am to where I'm going, this is what I need. This is what I need. So personally, I break it down into chunks, never beyond 10 years. Even scripture does ask us, who of you by worrying about tomorrow, our lives, you know? So sometimes I see we plan using paper systems, but AI is here, you know? So sometimes our plans might be absolute in the next 10 years, you know? So what I've learned from wise people, from business coaches as well, is to simplify it. So I took that thing. My business coach, if I may share his name, I'm not advertising him or anything, but it's just the impact that he's had in my life, Life Prize, you know. That principle, you know, I'm sure you are aware of that. I call him Mr. Smart for that, you know. So it is with that lens that I view and approach goal setting, you know?
Yeah. So nothing beyond 10 years, not even our long-term goal.
No. Long time ago, I keep it maximum of, you ask me how do I do it. I know people that plan for 10 generations ahead, you know, in my space of work. But I just realized that I think you and I are living in a world where change happens so rapidly, you know. I mean, there's AI that can automate the still picture, you know? So one tends to ask to say, okay, if I've got a goal of building a house in 30 years' time, for example, would we still build houses the same, you know? And so that's how I dropped it down to 10 years, to say 10 years is the foreseeable future, you know? Two government terms, at least I can see what's happening, you know. So the longest term I would have, yes, I've got dreams and aspirations that will accrue far beyond the 10-year
period, sure,
right?
For sure.
But then when it comes to specific goals, I guess, of material things, if I may put it like that. And by that, I mean, let's say buying a house, buying a car, you know, for some of us moving into a nicer office, you know. I always break it down like that, in terms of if it's short term, between 1 year and 3 years. If it's medium term, sounds like I'm making a mistake, but I'm not, between 1 and 5 years. You see, that's where that relationship comes in again.
Yes, yes.
And then long term, anything up to 10 years or more, you know. So I say, ish, although the future is nice, it's bright, you know, but let me stop at 10 years. That's how I approach it.
And I think a reason why a lot of people end up not even going for their goals is because 20 years, it seems like such a huge, huge thing because it's so far out. But planning in short increments actually helps, because you realize, oh, that's just 12 months. Oh, that's 24 months. And you can approach it knowing that after January, it's 23 months. After February, it's 22. So it keeps etching closer and closer. Could you perhaps give us real life examples for each of these categories? And not just in theory, but just so our learners, not learners, our listeners can see themselves in the picture of what a short-term goal, a medium-term goal, and a long-term goal can look like.
Okay, cool. So I realized that we skipped the fundamental part of it.
Let's go there.
In real life, can I, with your permission, just define according to my understanding and the understanding of the many scholars in my space. So we say short-term goals are goals that have a time span of 1 to 3 years, right? And then I further say they are simpler in nature, you know, compared to, say, as you said, 20 years, you know. So that's where the simple is. It's not an easy thing, because many people struggle and change. You know? So how can it be simpler? It's simpler when as opposed to their cousins, you know. And then a medium-term goal, as I said, between 1 and 5 years. But this one tends to be complex in nature, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think a higher level of discipline is required for one to say, I am saving or dieting. But again, let me come back. We set financial goals, right? So 5 years is a lot, man. So that's why I say it's more complex.
Yeah.
And then the long-term goals, like you said, that takes significant effort to plan and execute, you know? Yeah. And then so with that said, in my personal space, just like most people, on the radio, I do get tempted to take that, you know? It's so easy. It's so easy these days. You know, you log on into your app and it's like, hey, you qualify.
Yeah, bro. Not even your banking app, Vodacom. They want to give you Vodaland or whatever it's called.
Yeah, so after the fact, and you said the word, January, you know, after that fact, in around January or there, or whenever we get the reckoning,
yeah,
you realize, oops, I've target crunch, Lana.
Yeah.
I need to save myself, you know. So by that, saving myself, I mean making sure that the future me is not broke, you know. So with me, I was still is some way in that sort of space whereby you might take money to invest. Let's put it that way, you know. So short-term goals, it's always paying off debt the quickest for me, you know. So in real life, instead of, let's say, your bond payment, I know it's a long-term asset, but in the short term, if I want to save in the future, I have a couple of times added more money into the debt, you know, to say, let's reduce it. Because next year, I want 500 extra in my savings. You know? So to qualify for that 500, I need to start now, you know.
Yeah.
But the most interesting for me, inspired by my kids, because in summer they do all sorts of interesting things, you know. So they had an idea of having a stall. They want to sell stuff on our street.
Yes.
It's quite a busy street, you know. So they did a plan. I had to make a plan there, you know, to say, okay, our short-term goal is to acquire stock, you know. Yeah, so how do you acquire stock? We're going to set up strategic relationships, you know, with farmers that want to do, you know, work, free work, if you may put it like that. But it, rather, let me save you the detail of the story. But how to go about it, how we went about it was to acquire strategic partnerships, because if you want to walk fast, you can do it alone.
Yeah,
but far, you need people there,
together.
You know? So we acquired strategic partnerships, and then discipline, discipline, and then regular checking in into those goals, you know? So if you've got an idea of selling 100 oranges during that summer, it's no use waking 5 minutes before summer and say, hey, I'm okay, you know? Yeah, so it requires regular checkup, you know, just say, hey, are you there? Are you not there? You know? But then another, I wouldn't call him business coach, but a wiser person because of his age and experiences, right? told me about an idea of an emergency fund and an opportunity fund, you know, as a short-term goal, you know, to say, look, most of you guys, there's always flash sales and stuff, but you can't afford it, you know. The investment opportunities, you can't afford it. Create a opportunity fund over and above your emergency fund. You know?
Wow.
So, again, broke it down in chunks. He was my strategic partner. Hello? And then he held my hand, so to say, this is what it looks like, you know, define opportunity, you know, define an emergency. So I guess it boils down to breaking it down in the smallest possible fractions or chunks.
You know, you mentioned something. Okay, no, continue. Sorry, I'll go back to it. Yes?
Okay. That was the short term.
Yes.
And then, medium term, don't know much about your background, but with me, grew up in Soweto. So just
same.
Like many people in South Africa, you always aspire to live, you know, live closer to work. That's
yes,
the first dream.
Yes.
So, yeah. The commute. So it started then. I think the example of a medium-term goal was that we say, let's save up for a deposit on a house, you know, even if you'll get full loan, a bond or something. But it's always nice to, you know, to, pray about it, talk to your mind about it, you know, to say, hey, 5 years, will be house owners in China, you know. So it doesn't just happen like that. It's a process, you know. So fast forward 5 years down the line, 6 years, we got the house, and guess what? We had the money to offset major initial expenses.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And then long term goal for me, I'll be honest with you, ma'am. I'm still figuring it out, you know. I'm still figuring it out. Although my short term and medium term goals are getting nice ticks there to say I want track, you know. But on the long term front, I mean, some of my long term goals is to, it has a lot to do with my kids and the family, you know. So by me saying I'm figuring it out, they're still young. My oldest is 10. So there's still a long way to go. But it's that everyday thing to say, ish, I don't want to be caught up when they get to varsity and I can't pay, you know. And then touch wood, should something happen to me and I pass on before then, there should be some plan in place, you know. So all that, it's intricately woven into that long-term goal we have, you know.
So something you said that caught my attention is that medium-term goals are more complex, and I agree, and therefore take more discipline or need more discipline. Yeah. I would have thought, or I would argue, that short-term goals are actually the ones that need more discipline because, okay, let me think about what I'm saying.
No, I hear you.
Now I'm thinking about it differently, because now I'm thinking maybe it is the medium term goal that needs more discipline, because you think you've got time, but you don't. And so if you don't execute, with discipline, you'll find the 5 years coming so much closer because you thought you had time and you didn't. So maybe it does. But I was also going to say, maybe short term also needs more discipline, because they go together. If you miss out on the short term, then it affects your medium term and maybe your long term goal, if they are all related.
Okay, I hear you 100%, and I always thought the same. You know, how do you want me to save for 10,000 in 5 years when I don't have 500 now, or 100 now? So I hear you, to break away from being in the negative or zero to your first 100. Surely it's more difficult than your 5 year 10,000, you know. So there's that. But then one of the most interesting things I've ever discussed on behavioral finance, it's the concept of instant gratification, you know. So we are that generation, unfortunately. So, and most elderly people are adopting bad habits from this generation as well. So, yeah. So now you find, Uti, if I tell you that in 3 months, you can have a field of cabbages, you'll do it. Because it's like, in 3 months, 3 months, you can count up. It's easier to scratch a week. It's easier to scratch 12 weeks than it is to scratch 120 weeks.
So
that's where the discipline comes from. Another client of ours, a good client of ours, is a farmer. And then he said to us, there are more crop producers than food producers in Zanzibar. You know, why is that? After we spoke and spoke and spoke, he said, it's easier to do cabbage because it's 3 months.
Fruits.
And then after, food is
do you know a peach? The first harvest, all of them are rotten. And you're like, after all these years.
So it was from those observations and discussions like that that we concluded, it has to be harder. You know? And then the most interesting one, though, last example is that I'm sure you've done it, or you know people that have, or if not, you'll see people that do. We all say, I want to make my million. Let's break it down from 10,000 in 5 years' time. And then you get to 7,000, pet comes to you with a deal of a lifetime you can't resist. And you're like, I know.
Never mind.
Give me a sander. I'm taking this one.
Yes.
Rated that it's much higher than the short term one.
Oh, man. Many people then live in the tension between the urgent and the important. How do we prioritize without feeling like we're neglecting something critical also?
Okay, so I guess we first have to take comfort in the saying with nothing is new under the sun. So you might feel like a baller, you might feel like money is with you, you know, and it will never run out, you know. But scholars, text, scripture, case studies, all of it, it shows us one thing: to say seasons come and go, you know.
Mm.
So whenever you've got money and you're thinking, this is the time to blow it. I've been working hard and whatnot. Remember what I said, seasons come and go. They will come at dry season. It's the winter, as you know it on it. You know?
Yeah.
I know millionaires that miss premiums on some policies.
Aibo!
You know? Yeah, because it's that season. I would depend on my money tied somewhere. Life happens, man.
Yeah.
For me, the niece called. What to America? You know, this is an exciting trip. And me as the generous uncle, I'm like, so I want my police. Here's some money. Go for it, you know.
Yeah.
So life happens. You know, it's not good. It's carelessness
or anything like that.
But then the only way to beat it is to I think break it down, you know, to say, per 10 cents that I make, 1 cent has to be there for rainy days, you know. 30 cents I can chow, you know. I can spend 20 cents I can do the Lord's work, philanthropical work, you know. And it's to break it down. That's the only way, sane way I've thought about it, to say people that have a budget don't have that emotional turmoil after they spend, you know. They'll tell you, I have been spending. It is, you know, it's more common amongst my circles in December. They always have a budget for that, you know.
Yeah.
They will eat, they will drive, they will do whatever, and they'll say, I budgeted for it. So I guess that's the antidote for feeling guilty about doing something. Have it in your budget, so when you spend it, it's a budgeted item.
Yeah, and it sounds like having boundaries is going to be very important.
Having boundaries. And then another guy, his name is Howard. I won't mention his surname.
Okay.
He told me something when I was still starting up in the industry. I was just complaining to say, can you ever make enough money? You know, because no matter how much money I make, it seems, and I, you know what's happening, you know. And he said to me, we must dilute, we mustn't take Ubuntu to finances. He said,
yo,
yeah, I'm like, hey, what do you mean? He's like, no, he observes people, especially in South Africa, we take credit to borrow people, you know. Like I said, Mshana going to overseas, sacrificing my own things, you know. So you must have a budget to help, you know. So it can come from operations budget, you know.
Yeah,
treat yourself like it.
100%. And because we are talking financial goals, I would love for you to place savings, investments, and debt repayments, maybe even generosity. Where do they fit into each of these time horizons?
Okay. So you said investments, debt repayment.
And savings as well. Generosity, I think we've already touched on it.
Yes. 100%. Where do they fall? So in the, obviously, when we talk debt, can I start with debt?
Please.
Paying off the debt. So obviously with debt, it's a tricky one, you know, because you've had people time and again saying good debt, bad debt.
Yes.
You know? That's good debt, Ireland, that's good debt. No, that's bad debt, you know. So when you've decided which one is bad debt, I always tell many of my clients, they think, this guy doesn't want business. You know, they want to invest. You know, they heard about the new offshore. They saw, you know, easy quitties on the socials. People are posting screenshots. So people have FOMO, you know. They're like, help me start. But how do I convince you or any person listening, Uti, you are paying 16% on debt because it's quite high. Secured or unsecured. If it's unsecured, it's worth 22% sometimes. How do I tell you to not save this debt, but invest in something that will give you 12% at best? You know? So having said that, it's always wise to pay off the bad debt. in the short term.
Yeah, in the short term.
We all have accounts. I won't judge some people. It's more important than others, So whatever your reason is, but I think it's common cause to say things like clothing accounts, or rather, let me call it retail debt. One can sort of squeeze your way out of it, So be careful with that. So if you were reviewing your things to say, yo, I owe my editors this much, retailers this much, I think that's the first place to start in the short to medium term. Because I understand most people got into debt because there was no money to pay extra anyway, So how do we tell the same person to say, pay off your debt in 12 months? But I would still give it a number one priority. We say, first we pay off the debt.
Okay.
Short to medium term. The second one, I would say we save. I'm assuming there's debt. If there was no debt, I would obviously say, save. Yes, ma'am. So then I would say save. The reason why I say save is because most people, especially in this intricate economy we find ourselves operating in, there's always a need, man, for an emergency fund somehow, Either you get tires punching on random days, the city council charging you double what you use, little things like that. When people don't have money, they tend to increase the credit to pay those, So if you had an emergency fund, and for those that have no idea what I'm talking about, the emergency fund is, let's call it a savings basket, if you may, that should cover you for between 3 to 6 months expenses. So that I would prioritize. If there was no debt, I would start there. But if there's debt, even that doesn't make sense, So, and then I would create a savings emergency or opportunities fund. Also in the short to medium term. And then you mentioned generosity and investments. So those I would say investments make it medium to long term. Because as you know, when we're investing, we're playing the long game. There's many clients that when we're hit with tariffs left, right, and center, we're like, this is the end. I'm taking out my money, I'm going to farming. And they locked in the losses, because they had short-term horizon inside, And then those that left the money and always knew what it's for the long term, knew what it, nothing new under the sun, as I said, market cycles come and go. With that evidence and those observations, I would say investment tends to work for the long term, But then I'm sure to somebody listening, it's like, what's this guy saying now? For first 5 years, I mustn't have savings. I'm saying if on your plate you had those items that you mentioned, that and you had the edge to invest and save, and the heart to give. That's how I would break it down, And then generosity, anytime. You can't put a time frame to it, That's my opinion.
That's so interesting. I love how balanced this is. And I'm saying this because I'm juxtaposing it with principles and some lessons that are taught by this other Baba. I like what he teaches, but I don't like his way of teaching. And you probably know him. I know you know him. That the Dave, Romzy family. And what he's got these baby steps, right? And he lists them by you save, you invest for the future of your kids. Da, 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 da. And the last thing he says, when you've done all of this, then you can give generously. And to hear you talk about how savings can actually or should be, can be in the medium term, how debt repayment can be in the short term, and how balanced it is, it sounds more practical to me, because you can't not give because you're busy paying debts. Even if it's 200 rand when somebody wants 2,000 rand, but you would have done that. So what you're presenting is so balanced.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, my sister. And it's informed by the conversations, the 1,000 conversations one has every year with people, leaders of industry, doyens of industry, and you just take a step back and you're like, actually, this is the human way of doing it,
Oh, man. What common mistakes do people make when they set these short-term goals, and how can they avoid sabotaging themselves?
Okay, so the one thing, I had a funny a poll today, to say, just tricking people to say you've started a goal, you wanna save 100 rand a month. It's December, you've got 1.2. What do you do? They tell me this is the YOLO we've been saving for. Which are the money? What are you asking?
Yebo. How? What do you mean?
So. What do you mean? But I think that's the one mistake that most people do. Because by admission, what they're telling me is that they plant an apple tree and then it doesn't rot this time,
Yo.
and then
Yeah.
after about Lama pages, they cut the tree down. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So having said that, the one mistake that people do is that they spend the entire savings component. Remember, savings is not necessarily about the X amount of money that I need, or it's the discipline and the habit. Remember, that's what we're trying to build. To say, for me, no more than a million money in our account is leaving at 9 we fucking stocks and equities, But I see we're falling for the consumerism trap. As soon as we close our or hit our target, we're buying, So then I ask you, in the future, going to land, because if it's true that you after you have 1,000 pairs, but financial freedom, which I think is the ultimate long-term savings goal. If you like, when do we get there? If every little chance we get, which our money.
I was at a church this other day, and the guy who was reading on offering said something so interesting. He said that the problem with a lot of us, of course, he was talking about the concept of tithe, but he was saying who would eat their seed? And what tithe is a seed. And you mentioned now that people would eat the peach trees and cut the tree down. Some people don't even wait until they plant the tree. They eat the seed right from
The
the
seed.
beginning. And your seed can be a lump sum that can actually go towards reducing your debts. And instead, YOLO. Or it can be stashed somewhere in a 32-day notice if you're not into other vehicles. But if you eat the seed, then you haven't even done that for yourself either. Ish. And how,
Total.
yeah, and how do life stages, single, newly married, raising kids, approaching retirement, how do those life stages reshape how we think about these timelines?
So, that if I may, it's been 14 years now that I've been doing what I'm doing, a similar role. So I've seen quite significant and profound changes in people that you mentioned. I think the spending at the honeymoon phase, whether a honeymoon, a new job, new house, new what. The spending is large and meaningless, if I may put it like that. It's just for the ego, most times, the first car that you want, a Humber 300, I can go on and on, and then when they transition from that and now they start having kids, some do now the opposite harm, if I may put it like that. They don't listen to our air hostesses. They do not put their mask first, on their faces. They're always trying to save the kids. Oh, but my kid needs this. But what value will we be if we are broken, blacklisted, and without a home to these kids that we're fighting so hard to, So, yeah, there's that internal conflict to me as well, to a lot of parents, I think, to say, hey, 10 rand, I'm your trainer. Do I save this thing or do I buy this child what she wants, or what he wants, So the elder people, not all of them, most. of them, I mean, on shoulders of really great thinkers when it comes to wise professionals, wise older professionals. They tend to be minimalistic in nature, man. They tend to do more generosity work, you know. They tend to focus on the future. Funny enough, I spoke to a 78-year-old client who still wanted to save money for 10 years.
Oh, Bantu.
Exactly.
Oh. They have faith that they live long.
But I can assure you, after the 10 years, we're going to extend it. You know?
Yeah.
But I think the plan is more defined the older you get to answer your question.
That makes sense. Yeah. And what do you think happens for somebody in their 70s to still want to plan for 10 years? Is it because they feel they are behind, or because of the faith value that they live long? What is happening there? Because I would think that you've retired, hopefully, if you're not part of that percentage that can't, and now you have the liberty to just live and wait to die.
I think the one theme that comes across, though, is people wanting to plant a tree for shade, even if they'll never sit in that shade.
Oh,
you know?
Man,
most
yes.
of them tend to have died. They tend to tell me, no, man, it's for my legacy, it's for my grandkids. Some will even say, if I go, I want the church to carry on with their good work, you know. So this is for them. So I think there are visionaries. There are those... that take the Bible literally to say a wise man
leaves an inheritance.
So a myriad of reasons. And then some people, I found this and we laugh about it all the time with my one friend, to say, hey, you know, professionals are really chronically scared of being broke, you know. So they just want to see the positive balance. You know, I hear you, you're 78, you've saved so much, you've got a million yana there. It makes sense to spend it. But no, these people are like, I want to see that 1 million.
Oh,
so
wow.
My colleague and I will conclude, no, it's the fear of being broke. You know? So I guess this is a safeguard for one. Even if life does whatever, you know?
And as we wrap this up, what systems or tools do you recommend for tracking progress without becoming obsessive also? Because let me tell you something about me. I will check my bank balance every day. I will be on my budget template to make sure that everything is as it is, that there's a correlation. Yeah. So what are these tools and systems we can use for tracking our progress, but not also get obsessive like me?
Okay. So there are many ways to do it, but the first one, I would say, work with a professional, you know. You might think, to pay a professional when I don't even have money to save, you know. But there are many professionals. I like to believe that I still my mentors were like that. I still meet them along the way to say, if I help you, boom, get your finances right and your money right, it makes sense that in the future you'll give me money to invest, right? So it's the logic that to say, if I make you rich, then I'll have business. I don't want to say most, but most professionals that I've come across have that mantra in mind, you know, to say financial planning for all, whether you have money or not, you know. So believe it or not, there are people who will assist in financial planning to get you out of the debt trap at a very minimal fee, even, you know.
Yes.
Some of them, if you take products with what they recommend, you won't even pay that fee, no? So first and foremost, I always advocate for a professional, not for my own benefit, no. But just to give you a quick analogy of the first person to climb Mount Everest, you know, or recorded to climb Mount Everest. He said he couldn't have done it if it wasn't for the guide. The guide's name was... Hilary Nokay. I remember that name because of how it sounds. And then, so they ascended that mountain, I think, 1953 or 1956, rather. So imagine if he had said, I have got belief, you know, I had dreams of myself in the future. Uncle Gil, I can do this thing. I'm sure he would have done it, but not probably as comfortable as he would have with a professional, you know? So many of us have many hills to climb. And then it's maybe not worth it to climb it alone, you know? So find somebody who knows, who knows Kotilapaya, there's a trap there. It will help you, you know? It will help you a lot, you know? So that's the first thing. But if maybe you like some of us that like DIYing and the idea of discussing your finances with a stranger, hi, you know? So, yeah, unfortunately, we are living in a time of, I think, overinflux in AI tools, you know? Yeah, so there's a lot of it. Look there, just that some of them are sponsored by mainstream companies, you know? So I don't want to give free advertising. But the greatest one I can think of that most people give me rave reviews about it, it's 22/7,
Oh,
you know? Yes,
yes.
it's automated. And then you can set alerts as well on the pro account, you know, to say, tell me when I'm below 1 million, or tell me when I'm, you know. So I think that works. But then just to sum it up quickly, the reason why I took working with a professional first is that the nature of our industry is that we don't see each other every day, you know. Let's say the most I see clients will probably be 4 times a year. So if you know that every quarter we're gonna review and replan, recalibrate, and all of that, it gives you comfort and it say, ah, I can leave it now, end of March, end of June, end of so forth. So that person, no man is an island, especially in finances. Even CEOs of financial services companies do speak to us for assistance, you know. So if you think you can just go online, DIY, I think I can, you know. So yeah. And
Oh man.
then boom, I wanted to say the final fact, just believe in your plan, you know, because yeah, believe in your plan. If you're saving 100 rand, and then you meet me and I tell you of this amazing coin, then it's gonna revolutionize the way we do things. Bring your money here, I'll make you rich. Avoid that, especially when you're starting out, you know. But later on, when you have money and you've got opportunity funds, you know, you can play those games.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And where do people find you? How can they make use of your services?
Okay, so thank you for that question. So I've got two websites up and running now. So MoneyBridge is starting to work. Last time we spoke about it. So people can go on www.moneybridge.co.za. That's where you'll find me and other people that you might need. We work with tech specialists. It's the thing that people are talking about, giving us sleepless nights now. So we've got strategic partners. So it's not just Patrick alone, it's Patrick and others. Yeah.
Oh,
MoneyBridge.co.za.
absolutely love it. It's always fun chatting to you. Well of wisdom. I leave here rethinking my whole life. Okay, maybe not my whole life, but really thinking about where I place my own values and my own decisions and money in that same thought. So thank you so much for coming through. We really appreciate having you here. Have a lovely evening.
No, for me. Same to you, same to you. Also learning a lot from you. Thank you for having me. Enjoy your evening and God bless you and the listeners.
Cheers, Pat.
Thank you.
And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.